you pray for us, and I trust the Lord will be with us for a little while. Tenth chapter of Matthew, I want to talk a little while. I might not get to talk about what I want to, but I want to talk a little bit about that chapter. And while you're looking at it, you might think, well, that don't apply to us. That's when the Lord sent out the apostles. And I realize in the sense that it applied then, it might not now, but it's still written by our learning. It's still for us. It's His New Testament. It's for us. He's going to get the church made up of Jews. That's what He's doing. He's choosing Jews. He's going to build His kingdom. But it's going to be given to the Gentiles. And wait a minute. Still for Jews, isn't it? I mean, you just Jews. You are Jews inward. You done been circumcised. Anyhow. That's right. It's to the Jew. And I think I found it as a first is last and a last is first. Them Jews was before us, but they is first, but they're last. And we was last, but we're first. Same thing about the New Testament, the Adams, anything that you want to talk about concerning God. The first was last. And the last was first. But when you get to this chapter, He's sending His disciples forth, and He's sending them two. He tells them where not to go and where to go. And He teaches them what to do, and He even's going to tell them over here where to stay. Not only where to go, but where to stay. And he said in verse 11, into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy. And there abide till you go thence. See, I need to find out. I might have to move, stay somewhere else rest of the week. But you go into that city and you inquire in that city who's worthy. And there you just hang your clothes in that closet. Kick your shoes under the bed, and you just stay there till you go hence. Notice what he went on to say, and when you come into a house, salute it. I don't know if I know much about that. Let me skip that. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it, but if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. Let me just sort of preach up to my text, and I might just get to it and quit. That is too much here for me. But I want you to understand that if we could only see the authority, and if we could understand and somehow lay hold of what God is doing and what He's done and what He means for us to do, and the fear that would grip the little children of God. I remember a time when an old prophet would walk down the street and they'd go to meet him and they'd want to know, brother, did you come peaceably? They used to fear the men of God. I want to sort of see if spiritually, and I realize that nearly 2,000 years ago, that literally the Lord from heaven, Christ Jesus was His name, that He sent His disciples out. And He told them where to go and where not to go, but I'm come to a place that there's got to be some spiritual discernment there for the little child of God. I believe that a dead alien sin and read the record of what our Lord done to those 12 and probably understand it more than this poor uneducated man that stands before you this evening. They can probably even, some of our teachers that has studied English and that can take it and diagram these sentences and really get more out of the natural lesson of it than I can even grasp or understand. And yet I'm told that the natural man receiveth not the things of God. So there must be a necessity, something spiritual, something that's still here for the child of God. And I believe that as he sends us that the ministers, that's literally in question here. But as we go, that we have some of these powers and some of the things that they literally done. That through the preaching of the gospel, when it is the power of God unto salvation, that gospel will do the same thing spiritually that God did through them literally. Oh, if we could see that and understand it. You'd get to thinking about all, and Brother Dale got this on my mind before he left. If we could see that these round about us are in prison houses, then the prison houses of their own mind, of false doctrine and all of that, and we've got the key, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to have the power to open those cells and turn the captive free. What a freedom it is when the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes to one that's felt this great burden to go from house to house and has felt that if he don't succeed, that somebody will literally die and go to a devil's hell, and he'll wind up on judgment morning with that blood of that one that went to a literal hell on his hand. I tell you what a prison it is, and what a joy when somebody will take the gospel and open that prison gate and let that poor captive go free. What joy it was to my poor soul when this happened. You can talk all that he's done. Heal the sick. You know the best doctrine for a sin-sick heart? It's the gospel. No wonder they call it doctrine. And we need to spend a lot of time learning how to use it because it's doctrine. He'll make you feel better. I wonder how many hearts has been bound up by this doctrine preached in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost sent down from God out of heaven. And so you see, that would make it very important that we learn how to handle this. Learn how to use it. And then it sort of make it fearful if we'd go into some house in some city and men won't hear it. See, we could still sort of walk out and shake the dust off our feet as a testimony against them, and it'd still be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for those people. You know, if I could really grasp that and see the importance of what God is teaching me through the preacher that is sent by his Spirit that's come down upon him from God out of heaven, if I could see the importance of that and understand if I don't obey that, that I'm headed for trouble. So now let me just simply show you what he done. He sends them out and he tells them, now I don't want you to take nothing for your journey. Because he's going to after a while tell them, I want you to take something. But he don't want them to take nothing on this journey. But before he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, he comes back and he said, when I sent you forth without staff or without purse or without sword or without cloak, liked you anything? And they said, nothing, Lord. He said, now, if you don't have a sword, I want you to sell your coat and buy one. But anyhow, he sends them out here not having these things because he makes a statement. The workman is worthy of his hire. And, but now he said, when I send you out here with nothing, I want you to be just as harmless. I'll send you, want you to be as harmless as a dove, be as wise as a serpent, and harmless as a dove. But he said, now I'm sending you forth as lambs among wolves. Don't you hurt them. I mean, every time I think about that, it looks like that the Lord all the went for them wolves and said, I'm sending my lambs your way. Don't hurt them. I want you to go. I want you to go among wolves, you lambs of God, and be harmless. But you see, we got that thing turned around. We don't go among no wolves. We're going to go among the sheep, and we're not going to be as harmless as a dove. We're just going to be as harmless as a serpent. He said, now that's the way I send you. And when you go now, whatever house you enter in, I want you to see just who in that city or who in that house is worthy and you stay with. Man, good thing about it, I won't have nowhere to stay tonight before it's over with, will I? And you just inquire, is anybody worthy? Now, this shouldn't take too long, but I want to, if I can, before I sit down, I want to find somebody worthy. Well, we'll use them verses over there where there's none righteous, no, not one. I guess you could say that man ain't nobody worthy. That's right. In that sense, wasn't none good, no, not one. But I know John the Baptist seemed to think he wasn't worthy. You know, he was baptizing, and our Lord come to him, and they come out, and they said, are you him? He said, no, I'm not him. Well, who are you? I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. Make straight his gate. But he said, I baptize in water, but there's coming one after me whose shoe latches. I'm not worthy. Bow down and loose. You know, here's another sort of funniest thing. John said, I'm not worthy. And he turned around, them people coming to baptize, and he said, now, you bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. He said, I ain't worthy, but I ain't going to baptize nobody if ain't worthy. Now, you bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. And when they didn't bring forth fruit worthy of repentance, John didn't baptize them. Somebody must be worthy. John must could censor and figure out who it was and how it was that they got worthy. Well, I remember that Paul seemed to think that he wasn't worthy. I believe that prodigal son, when he come to himself and went home, I feel like he, when he made the statement, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son, just make me as a hired servant. He sure didn't feel to be worthy. You remember that was a certain sentence, say that for me, centurion. So I told you, I don't know nothing, can't even talk, let alone preach. But he had a servant, and he loved him, and that servant was sick. And so he sends another servant to the Lord, telling him that I've got a servant, grievous sick, come and heal him. Before the Lord could get to the house, he sends another one out with this message. I'm not worthy. Go tell him not to come under my roof. I'm not worthy that he should come under my roof. Neither thought I myself worthy to come out unto you, but just saying a word, and the servant will be healed. He said, I'm not worthy because I say to one, go, and he goeth, and another come, and he comes. Lord said, I've not seen so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Oh, we're about to catch on, aren't we? Takes great faith. What our Lord done to cause us to see that we're not worthy. You know, if I'd have been so worthy, I don't believe the Lord would have had to hung on that old rugged cross yonder on Golgotha's hill. You know, that teaches me that there was nothing good in me. No way and no how. Well, that man seemed to think that he wasn't worthy. And yet we've got to get worthy. And we get to looking around, we'll say, well, it looks like our church is getting weak. And you see, I've been asked, the last month, I've been asked, on three different trips, what I think is the one biggest problem with the churches. What's the thing, if I was just going to give you one thing that's wrong with the churches, what would it be? In all three cases, I have to go to that first parable. The cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches and the pleasure of this life cause them to never bring any fruit to perfection. You see, I guess in the service, and we're really wanting, and we think that entering into the kingdom is if we can forget what? The cares of this whole life. Well, we've done admit them. We ain't brought no fruit to perfection because the cares. And you know what us preaching is doing all these times? Getting you up on Sunday from the cares of the world, going back into them on Monday. We ain't bringing no fruit to perfection. I mean, it looks like that sort of happens to me. Is that your case? All we're getting is deliverance for a little while from the cares of this world, which said always kept any fruit from coming to perfection. Studied in all three gospels. That's what it said. It caused us to not bring any fruit to perfection. So I just get up on Sunday out of that shape, but you see, I go right back in. I ought to go out in the world now, bring some fruit for. I go right back out under the cares of this whole world. See, maybe that's why we're so small. Maybe somebody has gotten worthy, they think. Because you see, the Bible teaches me that the Lord's going to judge His church, and I find Him judging them at the Lord's table. And He begins to talk about this bread and this wine, and you know what it is, and how the Lord had revealed it unto Paul the same night that he was betrayed. And he goes on down through, eating this my blood, eating this my body broken for you, and my drink this my blood shed for you. And he said that a man ought to examine himself, and so let him eat. Because you see, somebody is going to have to be worthy. If you're not, you're going to get in trouble at the Lord's table. Because He said, if we drink this bread, or drink this wine, and eat this bread unworthily, we do eat and drink damnation unto ourselves. And for that cause, some are sick and some are weak. And some sleep. Lord, we better sit down at that table, recognizing our worthiness. But you see what? I didn't finish it. Not the Son in His body. I want to tell you that you're eating that you're drinking is the very thing that made you worthy. If you come in thinking it's my works or anything other than that, you're going to drink damnation to yourself, sure as I stand before you. It's all because of that broken body that was broken in your room and in your stead. That blood was shed on your behalf. That's all your worth. And I found him, I thought, in the church, and whether it's yonder in that great eternal bliss on high that's of the eternal kingdom of God or this kingdom down here. Matters not to me. But I found in that fourth chapter they come and they cast their crown at his feet and said, "For thou art worthy, Lord God, for we've been redeemed of thou out of every kindred and nation tongue." I don't like the way I said that. I'll try to read that. That's in a fourth chapter of Revelation. Eleventh verse. Says the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." I want to show you your worthiness. And see if I could leave you that you prove it. And that's why I'm pleased to stay in any one of you's home. You see, your deep feeling of unworthiness shows that you're worthy. But let me show you where you put your crowns is where you're placing this worthiness. And you're saying the Lord's worthy. I reckon there's about four crowns. I believe we used to talk about five, didn't we, Brother Paul? Had that soul winning crown. I done sort of slid that and out of my... I don't use that anymore. And yet I like to win some souls.
Amen.
But if that was to be one, I'd want to cast at his feet. I don't believe I could do it. I don't know how. But anyhow, I know there is a crown of life. And a crown has to do with glory and honor and praise, and that's what it says. Now I want you to tell me, who do you give the glory and honor for your eternal life? Now he said you have that crown. Where do you put that glory and honor? Don't you give it to Christ? Oh, I'm finding somebody's worthy. Now, it said you go find these kind of people and stay with them. Lord, I'm glad I found you, and I want to stay with you, and I want to die with you. And you got a crown of joy. When we leave this place tonight, we'll go home, and there'll be some rejoicing in our soul and in our heart. I believe that you know that you're to give God the glory and honor for that joy. You won't give it to these preachers. You'll realize that they preached only because God Almighty was not only merciful to them, but merciful to you. And you'll give him the honor and glory for that. All these crowns, that's two of them. I'll stop there. But every one of them, I believe you look at them, you'll give him the glory and the honor for it all. You've got a crown of righteousness. You know your righteous filthy rags. You giving him a glory. I done talked to too many of you. You give him the glory for your righteousness. And you know you're going to heaven by his righteousness and his alone, that righteousness been imputed you. You'll give him all the honor and glory for that. When you find somebody worth it, maybe somebody back here ain't never come home. You'd find a good place to stay. If you feel like that you're not worthy, Why, come on home. That's the way this whole bunch feels. It ain't a one. I mean, they're just exactly like you are. And that's what makes them worthy in His sight. They know where they're worthiness is. God bless you.